It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood. Our team found many obstacles to forest protection in Indonesia in 2009, and 4 years, you might think, is long enough for the UN's Red Project to make a dent in the rate and extent of deforestation. But Indonesia's climate agency chief, Agus Purnomo, sounded a note of caution to our team at the time. He pointed out that much of the remaining forest in Indonesia could be lost in the single term of an elected official.
If REDD is going to take 7 to 8 years to produce revenues, forget about it. No elected official will be interested. Now, are there bad people? No, they are not bad. But they have to make the most of their terms. And if there is no money going to come in until 7 years from now, why should they worry about it?
So to find out how much of Indonesia's forest Red has actually succeeded in protecting, we called up Amy Moas. She's worked extensively in Indonesia as a senior forest campaigner for Greenpeace. Welcome to Living on Earth.
Thank you for having me.
Now tell us, generally worldwide, how well is Red working when it comes to protecting forests?
The progress with Red has been incredibly slow. While there is a general consensus within the international community that this is a good idea to reduce emissions from deforestation, we have not yet practically figured out how to create a program that will see real carbon emissions and protection of forests on the ground.
How much is this related to the fact we don't have a comprehensive climate deal for the planet?
It is closely related. Some of the key difficulties are happening at the international climate negotiations, and some of the obstacles include how to actually monitor and verify the real carbon emission reductions, and also, where's the money going to come from?
Now, how successful has Red been in Indonesia as a mechanism to protect forests and peatland?
Unfortunately, it has not yet been successful. The Kampar Peninsula in particular is a critical landscape because of its high carbon-rich soils, but Red has not yet been seen to be effective in protecting that area. April, a pulp and paper company, once proposed an idea to protect the Kampar Peninsula using Red. Unfortunately, it has not gotten off the ground, and we've actually seen April doing the complete opposite. April is destroying hundreds of thousands of acres of natural rainforest, including destroying an area with high conservation value inside that Kampar Peninsula.
What's been the response of the national government in Indonesia?
The national government of Indonesia is quite supportive of the idea of Red. Unfortunately, most of the forest management decisions are made more at the district and local level. And it is here where there's very little knowledge of what Red will actually look like in practice. And it's also at this level where we are more concerned about the possibility of corruption.
A few years ago, the president of Indonesia imposed a moratorium for no more additional clearance of forests. But what's happened here?
Yeah, that's right. So in 2011, the president of Indonesia established a forest moratorium. It was also extended just recently, again in 2013. And what this means is that the government of Indonesia will not grant any new forest concessions to extractive industries, to pulp and paper companies, or to palm oil companies. A lot of these companies and industries still hold vast amounts of concessions of undeveloped land. So the rate of deforestation has not really decreased.
Amy, just how fast is deforestation proceeding in Indonesia at this point?
There was a recent study that said 80% of the island of Borneo has been deforested. That number is both shocking and true. Only about 20% of the original primary forests remain standing. If you look at just Indonesia alone, the number is about 25%, so a little bit better. But the remaining forests are in very remote areas, including the islands of Sulawesi and Papua. So the islands of Sumatra and Borneo have been almost completely decimated. Now, these numbers are driven largely by the expansion of pulp and paper companies and palm oil companies, as well as some other extractive industries.
In the first half of the documentary, we heard about how paper companies and the promise of Red were impacting rural communities in Indonesia. What do you think is going on in those areas now?
The local communities are the ones that are most impacted when these extractive industries or pulp and paper companies and palm oil companies are allowed to go in and clear cut the forest. Palm oil is the number one driver of deforestation right now in Indonesia, and there has been extensive documentation of human rights abuses and labor abuses in these local communities. So while RED was once proposed as an alternative to this forest destruction and to these abuses, it hasn't yet really become operational. The local communities aren't seeing the benefits just yet.
On the whole, Amy, what kind of hope can you offer here? How optimistic are you that RED might still be a viable way to protect the world's rainforest and Indonesia's forest specifically?
Yeah, RED definitely has the potential to change the way that forests are managed and present an opportunity for forests to remain standing. Unfortunately, we are still a ways away from that. The fundamental difficulties in actually creating a program that can monitor the carbon emissions and create an incentive to leave the forest standing, it seems like we're still a ways off. But we do still have hope that we can find an alternative. Greenpeace firmly believes that we need both political solutions like RED, but also market-based solutions, working with companies to improve their operations and protect forests that way.
Amy Moss is a senior forest campaigner for Greenpeace. Thank you so much, Amy.
Thank you.